Let the church say amen.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, say amen again.
Amen.
God has been good to you. Shout hallelujah. Let's have a 10-second praise break right now. But tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy God. Thank you. Worship is special. Worship is special. It's when you think in your mind and your spirit about God. And when your spirit and God's spirit kiss, worship takes place. And I'm so thankful that we could come here together and assemble one with another and mingle our voices in praise to God. And it's an awesome experience how we can assemble and worship God. It's not about your dress. I'm not afraid. It's not about your suit. It's not about your car. It's not about nothing else other than God Almighty and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that God has to dwell in us. Amen, somebody. And I want to say this. I don't know if I've said this here yet. I'm proud and happy to be a member of the Church of Christ. I ain't ashamed. I said Church of Christ. One that Jesus hung, bled, and died for. And if you found that church right now, just say thank you. I'm thankful I found that church. I found the church that's in the Bible. And that's who God is coming back to save. Isn't he all right? We want to thank you for being here with us. Here at the Newburgh Church of Christ. Just excuse us. We just love Jesus. And we don't mind expressing our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's brought us a mighty, mighty long way. And we're just happy to be in this place today. You could be at any place in the world. You could be at any house in the world. Some of you could be at an outhouse or a crack house or the White House. You're in the house. Amen, somebody. Oh, the Lord. And I'm thankful to be in this place. Two or three of you can remember 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. You'd just be getting home right about now.
Right.
Lord, have mercy. I had two or three of you who were honest in this place.
Yeah.
But it's something about the blood of Jesus. They can clean you up. Have you put a suit on. Amen, somebody. And tie up a tie. Amen, somebody. And come here and praise him. Oh, God, the Lord is good. And we thank God for his goodness. For our visitors, we want you to know that you are certainly indeed our honored guest here with us today. We want you to know that you're not here by accident, but you're here by God's divine design. He's brought you to experience this worship and to fellowship with these people. It is an honor, a paramount privilege and pleasure to be able to worship God.
Amen.
The old folks used to say, you better worship him now while you can.
Right now.
Because there may come a time when you get older and you want to go to the house of the Lord and you're not able. And if I were you, every time one of our brothers opened up those doors, you'd be in this place.
Amen. To
hear what God has to say to you so that God could give you his marching orders so that you could receive some love in this place. I said love. Yeah, the church is a place where you should receive love. The church is still a forgiving place. Is that right? It's a place where we give people grace. We know ain't nobody perfect. As a matter of fact, the moment you got baptized and got into the church, you made the church even more unperfect. Amen, somebody. Because we're all imperfect people serving a perfect God. Is that right? We serve a perfect God. So I am thankful. I'm happy. And I want to thank you for being here on this morning, because you could be anywhere in the world. But somehow, some way, the Lord directed your heart and your mind and your body and your legs to get here on today. So we want to say thank you. It's always good to be in the presence of Brother Fleming. And Brother Dorsey, amen, amen, our elders, and our deacons, amen, somebody, amen. Are y'all ready for the word on this morning? All right, let's make it do what it do. Open your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. Thank the brother for reading this verse. He did it so wonderfully. I would ask that you flank me with your prayers as we began to try to explain this text. And I want you to know that this lesson is for you. If you would and could and you're physically able, please stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of the Word of God on this morning. Good to see people in the balcony with us up top this morning. I'm going to look up there at y'all in a little while too. I ain't going to just focus on these. I'm coming up to look at y'all too. It's good to see you. Amen. We got families up there. So good to see you. And I don't know about you, but I'm just happy to be in this place. I'm thankful for this opportunity to share with you on today. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. If you are here today and you need a blessing, say, "Speak, Lord,
speak, Lord,
for your servant is listening."
For your servant.
Please pray for me silently, church. Preachers need all your prayers and all of your amens. Verse number 11 says, "While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Verse 14, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan." Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give God glory except for this foreigner?" Last verse. "And he said to him, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Look at the person next to you and smile like you like them. If you're struggling to like them, look at the other person beside you. Smile like you like them. Open up your mouth in enthusiasm to say, "Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Your blessing.
Your blessing.
Is on the way.
On the way.
You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Your blessing. Is on the way." For the benefit of those who have armed yourself with a writing instrument and you want to take some notes because you believe that God has something to say to you today, if you needed something to remember this sermon by, it would simply be a return on investment. Return on investment. I want to give you a little insight into my life as a preacher. I want you to know that I love home improvement shows. Brothers, don't look at me funny. I love to watch home improvement shows. You see, when Chip and Joanna try to remodel a house, they will take an old, run-down, dilapidated house. And they will invest into that house. And they will do all kinds of things that you never saw or never thought that would happen to that house. And at the end, they'll paint a canvas of the old house.
All right.
And then they'll move the canvas back. And then they'll show the new house and how that house has been completely transformed. And I love to see how it looked before and how it looked afterwards.
Right now.
My wife teases me because I love to watch YouTube videos of barbers cutting hair. She'll look at me and she said, "Baby, what you doing?" And it's not that I want to cut hair. I just like to see how a barber can take a person or take a brother and grab those clippers when a brother has been woofing. And if you need some help with woofing, it means a brother who is in desperate need of a haircut or a shave. Say amen when you can. And that barber can take that brother and transform their whole look. And at the end, what they'll do is hand them the mirror and say, "Check it out." He looking at the mirror, he starts feeling himself like, "Yeah, you got me." I love to see that. I used to work in the banking industry, and years ago, I used to have people that would come inside my office and sit down in my chair and be outraged because something happened with their bank account. You know how it is when your money don't look right and look like the bank is doing something wrong. Amen, somebody. And you think some money is missing. You go in that bank and you say, I'm going to talk to the bank manager. Well, that used to be me. Amen, somebody. And they would be so mad. And I would sit them down. And I would help them out with their fees or tell them what they could do so that the problem won't keep occurring. And what would happen is by the time they left my chair and got up, some of them would be so happy that I helped them, they would jump up and say, would you just give me a hug? Amen, somebody. And I said all that to say, I want to thank God for my own personal transformation. Because there used to be a time in my life where my before picture did not look like my after picture. Amen, somebody. And I don't know about you, but God has come into my life and transformed my life. So I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm so glad that I'm not who I used to be. And if God has come into your life and your after picture looks better than your before picture, you want to open up your mouth right now and give him some glory and give him some praise and give him all the honor because he changed your life. He changed your life. The least that we could do if God has transformed our lives, yes, is come back to this place every Sunday morning and say two words. It's so simple. It's an easy sermon. And that is, thank you. Tell them, thank you. Now, there's some fellas that I want to explain. Basically, there was an encounter that Jesus had with these 10 men that I want to explain to you how one of them did the right thing and nine of them didn't do the right thing, didn't have enough decency to come back after Jesus had healed them and cleansed them to say thank you. Now if you're looking for them, you can find these fellows in verses 11 through 19. Now, I want you to help me preach this sermon by listening intently and praying for me, because I do believe that this sermon, this word, this passage, this pericope could literally change somebody's life today. Amen. The Bible says while he was on the way, sit in verse number 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, everybody shout village. The Bible says, the word of God says, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Now I want you to know that these men who stood at a distance as Jesus entered into their village, these men had the disease called leprosy. Everybody shout leprosy. Let me explain what that is so you can understand the context. Leprosy, beloved, was a chronic infectious disease that affected the skin and peripheral nerves, and it's always characterized by seeing lumps and bumps, and it is associated and has a loss of sensation, even paralysis, and it can cause the wasting of your muscles to take place, and it produces some deformities. Could you imagine having this disease called leprosy? They were ostracized because of their disease. They were quarantined. They were dejected and devoid of social interaction. They had to be off where nobody else could come in contact with them because they had this horrible, this horrific disease called leprosy. But the Bible teaches us, beloved, that when Jesus entered into the village, the Bible says they saw him from a distance. They couldn't run up to him because they had leprosy. Are you in the house on this morning? So they had to stand in a distance from Jesus. Let me ask you a sermonic question. Let me post this to your mental timeline this morning. Here it is. Have you ever, beloved, been in a crazy, desperate predicament?
Yes.
I need some witnesses through here. Have you ever been in a desperate situation where nobody else could help you? You needed get some money, but you already had 10 loans out from your friends, and you couldn't go back to them for $50 no more. Amen, somebody. All the loan companies and the finance companies had already lent you money, but you hadn't paid them back, so you can't go to them. There was no doctor that could help you out or tell you what's wrong with your body, but you're still feeling pain. There was no person who could help your husband do right, help your wife do right. I wish I had 2 or 3 witnesses up through here and help your children be good in school. And you got to a place in your life where you were absolutely desperate. Do I have a show of wave hands and amens that somebody here knows what I'm talking about? Even on this morning, you are in a desperate situation. Now, when you get to a desperate place in your life, you no longer care what folk gonna say about you. And do I have a witness? You no longer care if you have an encounter with Jesus if people think you're too loud. Amen, somebody. You no longer care what they're gonna say about you or your family anymore, because you are in a desperate situation. That's the predicament that these men were in. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Mercy means pity. It's compassion. You want the Lord to eliminate your misery.
Come on, preacher.
Have mercy. Can't nobody else help me. Have mercy. Some of you got to tell God right now, Lord, have mercy. Some of y'all don't want it bad enough. You got to tell the Lord, have mercy on me. I've tried this and I've tried that, and nothing seems to be able to help me get better. Have
mercy.
Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. You don't know what it's like to be desperate. Have mercy on me, Jesus. That's the predicament that these people are absolutely in. And when you are going through a desperate situation, when you come to church, you don't care. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you don't care what the person on the pew who is next to you, who is sitting up there like, I'm so not impressed with what's being said right now, and he got to do more than that to get me up, and he got to do more than that. You don't care what the person on the pew said, because you are enthralled in God and Jesus helping you. You don't care if you raise your voice loud. You know why? You need the Lord to have mercy on you. Some of us, God has to get us to a place where we no longer care about what people think. We no longer are concerned with raising our voices. We no longer are concerned with being loud every now and then. If somebody wants to worship how they want to worship, that's fine. But when you start thinking about the goodness of God, don't you be afraid to open up your mouth and tell him thank you publicly. Amen, somebody. These men were in a desperate situation. They said, Lord, have mercy. Because sometimes your barber can't help you. Your doctor may not be able to help you. Come and hear people who went to court before. Your lawyer. I know some of y'all that got some tickets too. Amen. Your lawyer cannot help you. Sometimes your preacher may not be able to help you. Sometimes the only person in the world that can help you with your predicament, with your situation, with your desperate needs is Jesus. That's why we ought to sing that song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Tell him all about. He will hear and answer. I don't know about you, but I've been in those places before, and I know you need Jesus. That's where the tension in the text takes place, because Jesus heard these men cry out from a distance. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The Bible says, when Jesus saw them in verse number 14. Now, I like that. Because verse number 14 says, when Jesus saw them. Everybody shout, saw them. Isn't it wonderful to know that even if your prayer has not been fully answered, that he sees what condition you're in? Somebody here came to church feeling like nobody understands, nobody knows, nobody can feel what I'm feeling. Can I tell you, Jesus knows. Jesus understands. And you were in the right place even on this morning. So the Bible says, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. So Jesus, from a distance, watch this now. You got to make sure you get this, church. Jesus saw them from a distance, these 10 leprous men who were shouting, talking about, have mercy on me. And from a distance, he saw them and he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, you got to be familiar with the Old Testament to really get this, but the priest would be the one who would tell a person whether or not they had leprosy or did not have it. So when you went to the priest would also tell you whether or not you were clean from your leprosy or not.
All right.
If you need some further devotional study on that, you can write this down. Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14 will expand and expound upon the whole process when the person had leprosy. It was so bad that when a person had leprosy, you get a kick out of this. When a person had leprosy, they had to, if there was a man, he had to uncover his head and show his hair. Now, some of you bald brothers don't have to worry about that. Smile when you can. But he had to take his head covering off and have his head uncovered. He also had to have his clothes torn off of him.
Right, repent.
And if he had a mustache, he had to cover his mustache when people came around him, and he had to shout, unclean, unclean. Rewind the first play. He had to take off his head covering. He had to have his clothes torn off of him if he had leprosy. The priest said he had it. And then he had to cover his mustache. And when somebody got close, he had to shout, unclean, unclean. Now, some of you look like, man, that's kind of deep. But here's what I thought about. Wouldn't it be awesome if people who were evil and wicked and mad had to announce themselves before you came around them? Sisters, wouldn't it be awesome when that brother said, crazy, crazy, crazy? Y'all all right? And had to just tell you up, brother, I am crazy. And have a sign that said, crazy. Lean on your neighbor and say, that's the Old Testament. Go ahead.
That's the Old Testament.
So usually, when a man had to go to the priest, he would be thinking that the priest is going to look at my condition to tell me whether or not I'm ready for cleansing, the process of cleansing, so I can be completely healed of my leprosy. Now, Jesus told 10 leprous men who had leprosy to go and show yourself to the priest as if they were already healed.
Come on.
And here's what I learned from that, church. You want to get this? He said, go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible says in verse number 14, and as they were going, is that in your Bible?
Come on. Yes.
As they were going, the Bible says they were cleansed.
Man,
see, the healing was not supposed to take place when they got to the priest. The healing was going to take place on the way to the priest, because they had to have enough faith to go and show themselves to the priest and follow his instructions, even though they didn't see any visible difference with their condition. So it was never about them being healed when they got to the priest. The Bible says, as they were going, and then they were healed. Amen, somebody. Sometimes God wants to give you some instructions. Everybody shout instructions. God wants to give you some instructions, and it's not about anything other than you following his instructions, because God can heal you and bless you and help you out in your life when you follow his instructions. Amen, somebody. The Bible says, as they were going. See, some of y'all know people, and maybe you've said it before in your life, when you come to church and you pray and you give and you take communion and you try to help people, but you still don't see any visible change with your condition, you still don't see anything optically that's taking place in your life, and somebody may come into your ear and start to say, I don't know why you're still dealing with this church stuff, because it just doesn't seem like I ain't got no witnesses.
Come on.
That things are in proving for you. See, sometimes your healing and your blessing is when you go. It's not when you get there, it's as you go. Every day on Monday, I'm going to keep going. On Tuesday, I'm going to keep going. Don't see no change on Wednesday, but I'm coming to Bible class. Amen, somebody. Because I just don't know when he going to heal me. He just said, go and show yourself. So as you're going, that's when God may bless you. Are y'all liking me on this morning? Amen, somebody. I just need you to understand. While understanding is absolutely available, sometimes God wants you to obey and follow his instructions so that he can begin the process of blessing you. But it may not always happen when you want it to. Sometimes you may just have to go and serve. Amen, somebody. Thank you, my brother. And keep coming to church, because the Lord has a blessing for you. Here's what I want to tell you today, and I'll let you go. You need to know that God wants you to demonstrate your appreciation for God's goodness. God wants you to demonstrate. Everybody shout demonstrate, demonstrate. God wants you to demonstrate your appreciation for God's goodness. In other words, you have to do something as a result of God's goodness. Many of us, we talk a good game, but we hadn't proved that we got a good game by our actions. You have to prove it by your actions. Watch this, not always with your mouth. Are y'all liking me on this morning? I'm trying to help somebody through here. Because you got a lot of people that say they're going to do something. They tell you, somebody been telling you they're going to do something for 30 years.
Right.
They've been starting the business for 20 years.
Right.
They've been coming to church for 5 years.
Right.
And they ain't got here yet. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. In other words, they can speak a good game, but you got to prove it. Everybody shall prove it. You got to prove this thing by your actions. And when God has been good to you, you want to demonstrate your love for God's goodness through your actions. There are three ways you can do it. Let me give you one of them. You show appreciation to God, church, when you realize what he has done for you. See, in verse number 15, the Bible says, in verse number 14 rather, it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. In verse number 15, the Bible says, now one of them, out of the 10, when he saw that he had been cleansed, the Bible says that he saw it. See, the reason why people don't appreciate Jesus on the level that they can, because we all sometimes forget about what he's done for us. If he has changed your life, if he's helped you get through something, because sometimes you'll pray to God and God doesn't change the situation. But let me tell you what God does. If God does not change your situation after you pray, then that means he had a different will. His will was different from your will. But let me tell you what God does. He won't leave you hanging. He'll give you enough strength to make it through whatever it is that you need to make it through in your life. Any all right? So you can give him praise for the strength that you had to stand there and deal and cope with all the things that sometimes life brings your way. But let me tell you something about God. He gave you enough strength to make it through that. Is that right? So you got to make sure you understand, you demonstrate your appreciation to God when you realize what God has done for you. This man realized that God had done something for him. The Bible says, now one of them, when he saw that he had been cleansed, the Bible says he turned around and started glorifying God with a loud voice. Amen, somebody. Fell down to his feet. Amen, somebody. With his face at his feet and started to give him praise and thanksgiving. See, some of us, I can tell who it is sometimes. See, some of us are so accustomed to being churchy. We forget that Jesus desires praise. We forget that Jesus said, if these hold their tongues, then the rocks, they were shouting Hosanna and folk didn't like it. They were shouting, Hosanna is King, Hosanna. And people didn't like it. Can I tell you that Jesus actually likes praise? It's right in your Bible. It is right in the text. This man, when he saw what the Lord had did for him, he turned back. Everybody shout, turn back. And he was glorifying God with a loud voice. Amen, somebody. But when did you demonstrate God's goodness? When you realize what he has done for you. One of the most famous lepers in the Bible is this man named Naaman. You can find Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. And Naaman was a leper as well. Tell somebody, Naaman. Everybody shout Naaman. All right. Naaman had leprosy. And it was told to him by the prophet Elisha what he must do in order to be healed from leprosy. The prophet told him that he needed to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And guess what? Naaman was absolutely outraged. Naaman was furious. Well, know why? Because Naaman was a captain in the army of Aram. He was a respected man. He had soldiers underneath him. People liked Naaman, but Naaman had a problem. He was a leper. And so he said, why couldn't I have went to these other rivers and all these other rivers? Because the Jordan was a nasty and a dirty river. Some of the old members could tell you back in the day before we had these beautiful baptism pools back here, they used to have to take people down to the mud creek. And they didn't have all this beautiful water and put all the chemicals that we put in it. They had a little mud creek where it was just enough to baptize a person. And it was dirty and it was nasty. So Naaman thought that at least the prophet would come out and wave his hands and have this great big old whole thing pompous and all this stuff about how his entrance came in and all this stuff. But none of that happened. The prophet did not even come to meet him. The prophet sent messengers to tell him what to do. So he walked away mad because he thought that he should have something better. But can I tell you something about God? Everybody shout, but God. It does not matter if you are rich or poor. You got to do the same thing if you want God to bless you. Isn't that right? You can have a $500,000 home. And look, while I'm on it, as it relates to God's instructions, God is not concerned about your car. Mm-hmm. Now, I wait on an amen. God is not concerned about your $500,000 house. You could be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You could have all millions of dollars and have stock options and all kind of properties in various places, Florida, Mar-a-Lago, in all the places. But you still got to do the same thing. Everybody shout same thing. It does not matter your economic status, whether you're white or whether you're black or whether you're big or whether you're small or whether you're tall or you're short. You have to do the same thing because God is not a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons because Naaman thought that his status in humanity would translate over into God's divinity. But God said, no, it doesn't matter who you are, you got to do the same thing. And so when Naaman went and dipped in the river Jordan 7 times, then he was white as snow. He was healed. Amen, somebody. And you know what I learned from that? I had planned to have a little slide for you because I got some friends over in India and they don't have the water that we have over here. And I got a good preacher friend of mine on Facebook, and he always posts pictures when they baptize people. And I wanted to show you this picture of this man about to baptize 2 people, and they are standing in this dirty, muddy, nasty little pool, little river. And here's what I want to tell you about that. You know what God showed me about that? You can get clean in dirty water. Y'all ain't even in here through here. You can get clean in dirty water. Because salvation has nothing to do with the condition of the water. Come here, church. Salvation has everything to do with the condition of the heart of the person who is getting in the water. Amen, somebody. So you got to understand on this morning, everybody has to follow the same instructions. And if God has cleaned you and cleansed you of sin, amen, somebody, you better appreciate the goodness of God. Any good, church? Ain't God good? Oh, you got to thank him. You got to thank him for that. Second thing I want to share with you is you show appreciation to God when you return to give him praise. If you look back at verse number 15, when he looked and saw himself, and I don't know, in my sanctified imagination, the one who did get healed, that came back, in my sanctified imagination, I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe he said, I looked at my hands, and they look new. I looked at my feet, Brother Fleming, and they did too. Amen, somebody. When he saw that he had been healed, the Bible says he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Can I tell you today, if you are in this place and God has healed you or cleansed you, you ought to return every Sunday. Preach, Bro Jones. Every Wednesday, every Sunday evening. Why? Because I show appreciation to God for what he has done for me when I return and give him glory. See, I'm coming to church when I don't feel good. I'm coming to church when I have a headache. Amen, somebody. I'm coming to church when things are not going good in my life. Why? Because I'm returning. I said returning to give him glory. And that's what the church needs to know. If God cleansed you of sin when you went down into that watery grave of baptism and came in contact with the blood of Jesus, the least, I said the least, come on in here somebody, the least you can do is come here and give him glory. Amen, somebody. The least you can do is come get. He who was at one point at a distance is now near. He used to be, because of his condition, at a distance to Jesus. Now he can come close to Jesus. There's people locked up in jail that can't come close to Jesus, to the house of the Lord, and worship like we can worship right now. If he's done anything for you, you ought to be willing to come here and give him some glory, some honor, and some praise. Amen, somebody. Bible says he came back with a loud voice. And when you come here and you think about what he's done for you, not over your life, but this last week, you don't have to go back that far, church, to see his goodness. Am I right about it? You could just look at yesterday, how he spared your life. You got in a car and got up out of a car and didn't have a wreck. Amen, somebody. You want to thank him because of his goodness. There's going to become a day when you're going to stand before the master. And what you don't want is to have any regrets about how you glorified him while you had a chance. You want to be able to stand before the master in the judgment and know you gave Christianity everything you could. You were faithful to Jesus. You were faithful to God. The Holy Spirit, you allowed the Holy Spirit to indwell in you, that it affected your behavior. And some of us have the nerve to want to come and have a meeting with the preacher and ask him, see whether or not we still got the Holy Spirit or not. No, you know why people question whether or not they still have the Holy Spirit? It's because when the Spirit of God is indwelling in you, it tells you what God will want you to do. But because we quench the Spirit and ignore what we know the Bible to say about what we should do, now we start to wonder whether we still got the... No, you got the Holy Ghost. When you were baptized in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift. You got it when you got baptized. Your problem is you won't listen to him. Y'all still loving me? Let me make it clear. Let me give this sermonic point some hot sauce, so I can give this point some kick. Y'all ready? Have you ever had a Bible verse pop into your mind right before you get ready to do a sin? What are you saying, Brother Joan? That was the Holy Ghost right there telling you to do the right thing. But when you ignore the Holy Ghost and do what the devil wants you to do, now you question whether it's not that you don't have him. You still got it. You just have not allowed the Spirit to be manifested in your life and in your speech and in your behavior. Preach, Brother Jones. I think I will. And a lot of us, we want the benefits of Christianity, but we want nothing to do with the process and the commitment of Christianity. There is a process where you have to obey him regardless of what you're going through. And for the benefit of those who just believe that you just want, they call that what you call vampire Christianity. Y'all all right? Well, you just want the blood for forgiveness. But you want nothing to do with the commitment of Christ. We don't need no vampire Christians up in here. We need some faithful children of God. Amen, somebody, that's willing to ride with Jesus. Amen, church. So the Bible says that this one man who turned back to glorify God fell on his feet, had his face on his feet, and was thanking him. And the Bible says that he was a Samaritan. Everybody shout Samaritan. Most of you who've read John 4 before know that there was an issue with the Jews and the Samaritans. Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, because Samaritans were half Jewish and they were half Gentile. They were mixed breeds, and they used to call them dogs. The Jews couldn't stand them, and they had issues one with another. Amen, somebody. But what Jesus is signifying is that the people who were healed that were of Jewish descent, that should have been there, left. But it was the one who had no connection to him ethnicity-wise was the one that stayed and gave him praise. Sometimes the people to whom you expect should help you won't be the ones that actually stay to help you or bless you. It will be a person who was a stranger. Amen, somebody. Somebody that you may not never know. That's why the Bible says sometimes you entertain angels unawares. That's true. But here's what I learned about God. Sometimes the person that you have helped, the person that you give your last dollar for, the person that you will give your life up for, won't help you when you need it. But here's how you got to love God. God will send somebody. Everybody shout somebody. God will send somebody to help you, even if the person that you thought would help you don't show up. And if God has sent somebody in your life by show of wave hands and amens to help you when nobody else helped you before, you ought to open up your mouth. Come on, open up your mouth right now and tell God, thank you. Thank you, Holy God. Thank you, Holy God. Yeah. Last thing is, you show appreciation to God when you return to say thank you. Do you know that worship, you coming here and you and I coming here, is about us coming here to say two words. Thank you. If Jesus died to save you and I, least we can do is come back and say. Now there were 9 other men that got healed but did not turn around and give God glory. Only one of them, who was a Samaritan, came back to give him glory. And some translations say when you use the word Samaritan, you use the word foreigner. Let me make it plain for you. There's some people that are illegal in America that will do more work. Y'all won't hear me longer here. Better work, faster, for less money, with less complaints, and they don't even belong here. Jesus would have assumed that at least the Jews would come back, but the Bible says his own received him not. So sometimes people who are outside of Christ, I said outside of Christ, will praise him harder and longer and more. You ain't gonna like this, but you might as well go ahead and feel it, than the people who are in Christ. It should never be that a stranger hadn't even been in the body of Christ that will give him more honor, give him more glory, give him more praise than people who are in Christ. He's done too much for me. And I don't care what people say about me. I don't know about you, but listen. Jesus, you know how sometimes when you come across people and, you know, you want to sound professional. You don't want to sound religious because you want to be professional around them. You want to act like you passed a couple schools and you had an A in English and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And you just want to, because you know, your raise or your promotion could depend on this conversation. Amen, somebody. And all that kind of stuff. But I don't know about you. Are there 2 or 3 of you in here, even on this morning, that don't care about sounding educated when it comes to Jesus? I'm going to praise him. I don't care how I sound. I don't care how I look. He's been too good to me. Jesus, thank you. You ought to just go thank you crazy one day. Thank you for my house. Make a little song out of it. Thank you for my car. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my sins. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And make a song out of it. Thank you, God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? You gotta tell them thank you. And every day of your, it'll make you feel better. Because when you thank him, you're reminding yourself of how good he's been. Good God Almighty. So there's always something that you can be thankful for. And sometimes you may be the minority in the whole group. Because only one out of those who were cleansed had enough sense to come back and say thank you. When you get saved at church, if you get saved at church among 10 people, you just be the only one that comes back consistently to say thank you. Because you can't always go with the majority. Amen, somebody. Sometimes the majority is wrong and the minority is right. Amen, somebody. It's just leaped into my spirit when they went to spy out the land. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb came back with a favorable report that we can take them, we can do it, we can get it. God is on our side. But the other 10, somebody shout the other 10, came back and said, oh no, they too big. They like giants over there. We like grasshoppers compared to them. We can't do it. I don't know what God was thinking, but we cannot do it. And they will talk you out of your blessing if you listen to the wrong people. So you got to be thankful. Let me give you these 3 questions and then we'll be done. And when you look at verses 17 and 18 of Luke chapter 17, you'll find Jesus asked 3 questions. The first question is in Luke chapter 17, verse 17. After Jesus saw that the Samaritan man came back and was laying prostrate at Jesus' feet and thanking him and glorifying him, Jesus asked three questions. You want to know what they were? Here they go. Here they go. Were not 10 cleansed? Now, when Jesus raises a question, he's not necessarily looking for information. He's trying to drop revelation for the people who are around him. In other words, when he says, and it's two parts to this question, he says, were not 10 cleansed? So Jesus looked and was aware, and he was cognizant and intellectually aware of the disproportionate numerical findings of his examination of the situation. Lean on your neighbor and say, Jesus can count. Go ahead. That's really what I was trying to say. He said, we're not how many?
Ten.
In other words, this is what blew my mind when I studied this. And it really messed me up because I had to question my own self. Jesus knows everybody that has ever been cleansed that he cleansed. Anybody that's ever been cleansed by Jesus, Jesus is numerically aware.
That's good, preacher.
And then he said, were not 10, second part of that question, cleansed. Which means that in Jesus' mind, shouldn't cleansing, everybody shout cleansing, shouldn't cleansing warrant them, the other nine coming back to say thank you? And here's what that means for the church. If you've been baptized, if you've been baptized for remission of sins and being cleansed from all your past sins, you should come back glorifying God with a loud voice and say thank you. He knows everybody who he cleansed. Second question, he says, look at the verse. He says in verse number 17, there's two questions in verse number 17. He says, but the nine, where are they? So that tells us that Jesus is also numerically aware of everybody that he cleansed that didn't come back. When you skip church Wednesday night, Sunday evening, I'm going to come down your street. I'm here to preach the word. When you skip, Jesus knows who he cleansed that didn't come back. How do you know that, Brother Joan? Because he said, but the nine.
Right.
Then he asked a geographic question. Where? Now here's what Jesus was getting at. He knows that there are people that allow other places and people to be more important in their lives than returning and coming back to the man who cleansed them. So it says to us, when you don't come back and you become a part of that nine, where are you that's more important than coming back and being confronted with Jesus? Is the house? See how quiet George just got out. I love you. I love you, New Bird. Every church does this. That's all right. So is Sports Center more important? Is being out of town every chance you get and never coming to worship when you go out of town, is that more important? It makes you question, where am I when it relates to Jesus cleansing me when I need to be at his feet? But the nine, where? And so I had to ask myself the question, where am I when something is going on? Can I be a part of more things, even as a preacher? Can I be a part of more things? Because Jesus is asking the question, where are they? Geographically, why are they not at the feet of Jesus? And then he says, was no one found who was cleansed? Third question, was no one found who was cleansed except this foreigner? Was no one found who was cleansed who returned except this Samaritan? So in other words, he's making a play on the Jews and the Samaritans. Because you would think that his own people would at least come back and glorify him and say thank you. But I want you to understand how important this is, and I'm almost done. As we close, how important it is to come back. Church is so serious. 2019 ain't nothing to play with. And the world is getting worse and worse and worse. You're hearing worse things about kids, worse things about parents, worse things about tragedies, worse things about murders, worse things about shootings. Every day, as far as I'm concerned, as your preacher, the church is the best place in town to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen, somebody. I want to be with the man who cleansed me. Amen, church. So you got to ask yourself in your heart, what do you put above coming back to glorify him and to say thank you? Verse number 19, Jesus says, go. He says, stand up and go. Not your job, not your degree. None of that stuff made you well.
That's right.
He says your faith has made you well. It's not about your job. It's not about your education. You can have more degrees on your wall than a thermometer. None of that can save you. The only thing that's going to help you in your life is your faith. You know why? Because Jesus and God responds to faith. You get through because of your faith. When you believe in what you cannot see, believing that it's going to happen. Amen, somebody. And so I want you to know that if he could have mercy on you before church, if he had mercy on you, you ought to be willing to come here and give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I want you to think about how good he's been, church. Has he been good to you? Sisters, even on a bad hair day, he's. Brothers, when you can't get your line right and your beard right, he's good. But you could say he's good and shout he's good, but your actions will prove you're right or wrong. If he's really good to you, where are you when we have a service?
Right.
Will you be here to demonstrate how good he's been to you? To glorify him and to tell him thank you and get your marching orders to go out of here and do what the Lord wants you and I to do. I want to leave you with this. There was, and I think I told some of you this story before, there was a man who lived in the country who owned a Bentley. This man had won a Bentley in a contest. Now, for those of you who don't know, a Bentley is a $500,000 car. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here this morning? So it's some of y'all dream car. But this man was an old farmer, heavy set guy, had on overalls and used to plow the fields, lived way out in the country, had two or three beat up old trucks, and had a big old hat on always. When you see him, he will always be sweating. But he won this Bentley, and all the rest of his farmer friends would look at him funny because he's driving around in the country in a black Bentley. Amen, somebody. Just leaning with the gangster lean. Come on and hit somebody. Just knew he had it. Just turning the corners. Amen, somebody. And he was in his Bentley. So he drove his Bentley. Till he drove it till the wheels fell off. And it no longer worked anymore. So in the town that he lived in the country, there was no Bentley dealership. So he took his Bentley to Mazda, and they couldn't fix it. Took it to Kia, took it to Chevrolet, took it to Ford, took it to Lexus. He met somebody. He took it to all of the local car dealerships, and nobody could fix his Bentley. And so what he did was the next Bentley dealership was two states over from where he lived at. So he had to save enough money to get this little thing to put his Bentley on the back of his truck so he can drive his Bentley two states over, 2,000 miles. Finally saved enough money to get his Bentley on this little thing to get his Bentley to this two states over place. And He went to this place and he went to the Bentley dealership and the service manager said, we can help you. He said, what's wrong with your car? He said, I took it to Mazda, I took it to Kia, I took it to Chevrolet, took it to Ford. Nobody could fix it. He said, give me 2 hours and I'll come back out here and I'll let you know what's going on. 2 hours later, the service manager came back out and said, you know what? We found out what your problem was. And he explained to him that we know that you've taken your problem to all of these other car dealerships. But Bentley is the kind of and type of car where we are the only people that could fix this car. Right. Fixed the man's car, drove his car back over two states over, everything was fine. I told you all that to tell you that some of you take your problems to everybody. Oprah, the internet, Big Mama, Big Daddy, your friends, your relatives, your college buddies, your college people, and all those people, and nobody can fix your problem. Yeah. You're going to have to come to church and come in here and take your problem to Jesus, because Jesus can fix it after a while. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Maybe you're in here today and you got a problem. You got to take your problem to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can fix your problem. Here's how you do that, and I'm done. You got to believe with all your heart. Here it is. Come on here, church. Believe with all your heart that he's a resurrected Savior. Believe that he died, he was buried, and God raised him from the dead. Yeah. You have to be willing to believe that with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. Confess him as the Son of the living God. And once you agree to that, we will baptize you in water today. Watch this. For the remission of your sins. Amen, somebody. Y'all don't look like y'all happy about it. He will baptize you today. And all you got to do is come down here and let Jesus fix whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life. Some of you have a sin problem. And can't nobody fix that but Jesus. Look at the person next to you and say, you need the blood. Go ahead. You need the blood. Now watch this now. The blood is available. Come here, church, but you got to come to Jesus to get it. So you come down here and get baptized. If you're not a child of God, we will baptize you today, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all your past sins. And when you sin again, all you got to do is make up your mind to repent, live the best life you can, and ask him for forgiveness, and he remembers your sins no more. If you're here today and you know you need the blood, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I have an opportunity to receive the blood, because I know the sin that I committed that God has forgiven me of. And when you look back and see how nasty and how dirty and how rotten and how evil your sins was, you know you didn't deserve nothing but death. But God sent Jesus. Amen, somebody. See, some of you would not want nobody to know your text messages and your emails and your DMs. Come on here, young people. And the stuff that you say that never comes out of your mouth. Amen, somebody. If God put, we had two screens over here, and God put what goes on behind closed doors, and we could just see all the stuff that you do. I wish I had two or three witnesses up in here. Wouldn't you be ashamed of some of that stuff? That's why Jesus came to die for you, baby. Just give your life to Christ. Oh, God. And he will save you. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you. Come on down right now as we stand together and sing. Come be saved right now. Our song of invitation.